As we begin today, I want us to begin with prayer. We've got a lot of people that are ill. Glad Daniel's back with us today. Yes. Come here, Daniel.
You did it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Daniel, they believe Daniel's got Marfan syndrome. It's you've seen athletes that have it, and particularly tall, slender guys that have extra long arms. That's one of the signs, outside sign. But one of the things it does, it thins the walls of your aorta, and they believe that's why he's been having some of the chest pains that he's had and some of that constriction. So he's going for some more tests tomorrow. And he wants everybody to pray for him today. So we love you, man. We're glad you're back here today. Do you feel like we love you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We do love you a whole lot. And it's just not right, Mr. Brian, playing your bongos when you're not here. I tried to keep them away from him, but it's just not right. So join with me in praying for Daniel, okay? Lord, we do remember all those who are sick today. Lord, we've had a lot of people ill in the last several weeks. We pray your healing today to come. And Lord, I especially bring to you Daniel that we love very much. Thank you for him, Lord, from the first day that we met him, riding that spider bike around Georgetown like a wild man. And the enthusiasm that you have put in his heart for you and for worship, I want to thank you. And I ask you today, Lord, we're coming as a body, coming in agreement for his healing, Lord, that you would touch Daniel. He'd feel that and know that today. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, buddy. I want to go back and just recap for a few minutes where we were last week. As we've been looking at values and then asking the question, are these large group values or small group values? And what we're seeing is a trend. It's an Acts 2020 trend. That's 2020 vision, which is, what does Acts 2020 say? They met daily in the temple and house to house. And it uses the key word there. I forget the name of that convention in computerese, but they use the word and. They met large. That's the temple side. And they met house to house. Now, we were looking this week in our life group, as we were examining this, the several places in the New Testament, you can do a search on this, where it says house to house. And actually, the word there for house is the word oikos. The word means like it's not the physical structure. It is the group. It is the community. It is the home. It is the people. It is their sphere of influence. Now hold on to that, because we're going to get back to that and. About 15 minutes, we're going to come back to that. So, As we've been looking at this value from last week, it's the value that form follows what? Function. Okay? All right. And give us an example. I know we had several last week. It really doesn't matter if you repeat one. But give me an example of form follows function. I'll give you an obvious one, but they never do it. But I heard this engineer, this architectural guy that was designing the, his job was to design the sidewalks for major university. And what he went back and suggested to them, you know where I'm headed with this, right? Is to see, let the students walk and see where the paths would be and pave those instead of putting a form out there and trying to guide people by the form. Okay. I'm at Memorial Hospital last week. I park in the front parking garage. You come down the steps or the elevator, depending on whether or not I'm feeling frisky or not. And but you know what a health nut I am, so it's usually the stairs. And so we come around, and you know how that driveway swings around, right? All right? So there's a lady in front of me, and she's very obediently going by the sidewalk. What do you think I did? I passed her and right across the street, because that's where that sidewalk really needs to be, because that's the straight line that goes from point A to point B, straight to the door. Okay? So you got the idea about form follows function. All right. So many things in the church over the years. What was that passage we quoted, that negative passage last week, that they had a form of, and what's the other part of it? Denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. So there's a form. And you read in the New Testament, you read the different letters, and you see how that's manifested. You know, we talked about that last week. You know, the differences in the letters, you know. Stark difference that we made last week, difference between the letter to the church at Philippi as opposed to the letter at Corinth. Two totally different letters. They're Christians. They need encouragement, but look how different the letters are. That they're different in spirit, they're different in everything. You know, on one, you're trying to encourage a group of mature believers that actually have their minds outside of themselves. They're to the point, they're following the Lord's leadership, I'm talking about Philippi, to the point that they're thinking about Paul when he's in jail. Do you think the church at Corinth thought very much about Paul being in jail? Later on, probably not. Because what were they tied up in? Come on, we said some of these things last week. Some of the problems at Corinth. What were they? Communion. They had a problem with communion. Rich people would get there early, and for them, communion was actually they called it a love feast, that they would come together and actually have a meal together. Rich people would get there early because they weren't having to work like the poor folks. Poor folks got there late, and what would happen? There'd be no food. So there you go. There's a practical problem. they had mixed up some other things about communion. What else? And they were coming to the table. One of the criticisms was they were coming to the table how? Some would come drunk. Some would, they had it mixed up. Now, what were some of their other problems? Quickly, come on. Huh? Unforgiveness. Relationships. They had a problem with marriage. They had a problem with the gifts. They had a problem with authority. They had a problem with submission. They had a problem with, and fill in the blank. Now, you see, there's a totally different way as if you just said one size fits all, this is how we're going to come at every church. This is how leadership is going to be exercised in every church. You know, it's not going to work, is it? Now, there are some guiding principles that they're in Scripture. But what I'm saying to you is that God has a local application for His truth. You see that? Are you following? Okay. So, you get this. You get this right, and then this will follow. Okay. Now, we also last week I said to you one of those things that we're seeing, one of the macro things that we're seeing that's changing right now in this form follows function thing that is testing us. You know, how many times is the word mystery used in the New Testament? I don't know. I'm asking. you can look it up. The word mysterion, it's a mystery. Paul he likes that word because one of the mysteries that is revealed is that, and the Jews really had a problem with this. Is that Jews would be with the rabbi, would be with General Motors, would be with come on. Jews would have a connection. It was a mystery that Jews would have a connection with who? Gentiles, there you go. Because they had a view of the world that said you were either a Jew or not Jew. That's what Gentile means. And to think that they would be together. So you get back to the council at Jerusalem, Acts 15. All the stuff that happened there, we talked about, we alluded to Galatia last week, the problem with Judaizers there, and we talked about those ditches. Remember the two ditches? You fall in the ditch over on this side where you want to make everything Jewish, and at Galatia they were wanting to, that there were people from Jerusalem there that essentially wanted those Gentile believers to become Jews before they could become Christian. But then there's a ditch over here on the other side, and what's that other ditch? Speak it out loudly. Replacement theology. And what is replacement theology? Okay. And we said, amillennialism means not the millennium. They've spiritualized the millennium. One of those things that has done, a lot of the mainline churches teach that. The Roman church teaches that. That essentially Christians replace the Jews. So, what's wrong with that? Huh? Not scriptural. What scriptures would you point to that would bust that theory wide open? That's right. That whole theology of being grafted in, you'd have to eliminate that if you say that that the Christians have replaced them. How about how many chapters in Romans would you have to get rid of? 9, 10, and 11 have to go. I know I'm covering a lot of ground here. That's why I encourage you to take some notes so you can go back and read this stuff I'm talking about. I'm giving you an overview so we don't get lost on the minutiae here. So you can see the big picture here. Okay? So, here's a mystery. That there's a mystery from the ages that these Jews and these non-Jews would come together. And we see that happening today, don't we? We saw for centuries and centuries. You go back to the fall of Jerusalem. Which, what year was that when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem? History lesson here. Come on. 70 AD. Now I know you didn't learn this in your Western Civ class, because in your Western Civ class they eliminated the Jews, Jewish history, and Israel off the face of it doesn't exist. But that was an important time. Just think about it, how important it was that they would take all the resources of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire. That if the Jews weren't important, if Jerusalem wasn't important, why would they sent hundreds of miles, send armies over there to destroy it? And destroy it so completely if it wasn't important. Okay? You can argue something from the other side. Okay. I want you to see that. So then, 2 millennia, which means, what is 2 millennia? 2,000 years, roughly. And then we come down to 1948, and what happens? Israel is in the land. I know you think, well, what has this got to do with this value? It's got everything to do with it, because here's a value that this form follows function that God is showing us that exists today, that we're seeing it lived out in our very lives. Here's a function that forever and ever, amen, we've been able to keep these people and these people separate. But now what is God doing? He is bringing us together. He is bringing us together. I don't have a recent estimate, but there are more Jews that today are embracing the Messiah than have ever been. How many of you know a Jewish family that have this unusual connection? They're wanting to get to Israel, or they've sent their family members or friends to Israel. Anybody? Do you know somebody? Dave? You know somebody like that? Tell us about it.
It's basically just as you said, they are sending their children for education and then to be immersed.
And as I gave you an example, as a friend of mine that he did that with his children, he's totally secular. And then this is just happening. That's why I want you to see. Here we're living in this time of the church. And that was another mystery that from the Old Testament that we couldn't see. What was this whole church thing? That this did the Gentiles coming in? But we see God's kingdom being established on the earth. Now, when Jesus came the first time, where did he establish his kingdom? In our hearts. When he comes the second time, where is he going to establish the kingdom? On this earth. There's going to be a literal, physical kingdom, the millennial kingdom. He will reign for 1,000 years. And regardless of if you think on the time lot, if you think that Jesus is going to come before the tribulation, you'd call that view the pre-trib. Or if he's going to come in the middle of the tribulation, what do you call that view? mid-trib, God's king. And this kingdom is this bigger idea of what God is doing in the earth. Right now, there are a lot of Christians on the face of the planet that do not recognize what God, the promises God made to the Jews, that He is not going to welch on. He's not going to crawfish on those promises to the Jew. And what were His promises to His chosen people? Give me just a few of them. What were you going to say, Sevilla? It's on your lips. Yes? Did that happen? Is it going to happen again? Yes, it did. Okay. What else? What are some other promises? Come on now. Come on. We got stuff to do. What other promises? He's going to be their king? What else? Any promises about the land? What's the promise? They're going to be in the land and own the land, and they will possess the land. Is that happening right now? You better believe it. It's a miracle. What else? There's a promise that they're going to return from all over the earth. Were the 10 tribes lost? They're scattered. There's a big difference there. They're never lost. They're scattered. And what's happening right now to Jews from all over the world? They're going back. They're being restored. Now, I want you to see that. Form follows function. God said, here's the function. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm doing in the church. Here's what I'm doing in Jews. And I'm going to bring it all together. And it's going to be in a form like you've never seen it before in your life. And I also want to remind you, one of the places where that is being taught the strongest is in churches that embrace an Acts 20:20 theology, which is what? Publicly and house to house. That's a commonality there. So, let me ask you a question. We could spend a lot more time on this, but I need to leave that now. Would you call form follows function, is that a large group value or a small group value? And the answer is? Yes. That's right. Okay. We'll probably revisit that one. All right. Here's one. And I know this is corny. Well, I'm about to write up here. So some of you are going to go on ahead and make fun of me, but go on ahead and do it. All right. There's probably a better way to say that. Each one reach one. Now, what do you think I mean by this value? Somebody. Multiplication of believers. Personal. What do you mean by personal? Brian?
Let's see, like Larry Spurgeon says, nothing speaks better about a product than a satisfied customer.
Okay. And what are we talking about here? What's the product? What's the customer? Okay. What else does that say to you? What else about this value? Personal discipleship. Responsibility. Quote it to us. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question as a follow-up to that. Whose responsibility is the lost?
That's an excellent example. Let's see. You got the preacher, the lost here. Got the preacher, or there's another term we use that we call it the church. You have to say it like that. Now, what I mean by that, and what happens as a result of that, when we say, well, the lost people of this world are responsibility of the church. What happens when you? What's a natural result of that? Yeah, you mentioned a very key concept there. How long does it take? I'm going to draw some pictures, okay? And all the stuff that you're talking about. But first, before I do that, let this be our. And I know, please, I'm exaggerating for making the point's sake, okay? We're going to come back around and talk about large group also, but you say to a person, if you have what they call an attractional model of church, where you're just inviting people to come in to a building. Okay? That's fine. But what is the danger of when they come in of things that don't happen for them? You got it. I mean, now Sophia may come in. What was Sophia doing with this young lady? What, a one-on-one. But what was happening in that? Testimony is happening. There's a, there's testimony. There's a realness. There's an authenticity. There's a transparency. Should I keep going? When you get into this one-on-one, what can take place in that one-on-one that's difficult in a large group setting? How can healing take place in that, Donnie? Give me an illustration of that. And what's a key component of intimacy? You've got to have relationship, which is based upon trust. There you go. Trust. So when you've entered into a one-on-one, what has already been established there for the most part and almost taken for granted? That there is trust between people. So you've already overcome this huge mountain, this huge obstacle, because what would you like to find out from that lost person if you love them? Now, we hadn't even talked about the motivational part. But if you love them enough, what do you want to know from them? What's holding you back? Where's it hurt? Come on. What's some other things? What lies have you bought? Now, you wouldn't maybe phrase it that way, but so then in the one-on-one, what do you have the opportunity to do with that person? Walls come down. What? You can show them something. You're gonna be able to challenge them. You're gonna challenge them. Hey, and sometimes What was Jesus' primary way of challenging people? He had a primary method of challenging people. What would he do? What was his primary? He used something over and over and over and over again. He used stories, but when he was going to rip in and challenge you, what would he do? He asked questions. And when you ask questions, when you're one-on-one, are you asking for information? Right. Well, let me ask you this. Was Jesus asking because he needed information?
No. He was leading okay. them in a direction.
So the question became more of a... When your professor, Joe, out there at Harvard, which I'm a graduate of that institution, when they ask you a question on a test, is it because they don't know the answer and they want you to enlighten them? And I know you probably try in your, even in multiple choice, you try to enlighten them with all the things that God has imparted to you to this point. No, they're not asking for information. They're asking you to make you think, to challenge you. And Jesus did that. Now, what does a question then have to have with it for you to juice it for all that it's worth? What environment does a question have to have? Come on now, stay with me. Got to be relational. Got to be a question that at least they're going to take seriously. But see, you'll know that by the context because you're in it with them. They've got to feel safe about it, safe enough that they can, the walls are low enough, and they can be honest. What does all that take? Four-letter word in our society. It is our commodity. It is not money. Money is not the commodity of this society. What is it? Right there. You got it. You got it, Sophia. Time. It takes time. Now, I want to challenge you with an assignment because we're done. I'm 3 minutes past and I'm trying to honor the time. Here's your assignment for the week. And just a vision casting thing. Over the next 3 months, what if everyone that is in this room right now, you're not in an Amway meeting, okay? Now, if you go get two and you go get two, okay. But what if you invested the gospel, this commodity that Brian talked about a while ago, this good news, in someone else? Because aren't we the carriers? We're God's delivery system for His good news. Okay? I'm throwing a lot at you today. A lot of stuff. We've been in a lot of places already on warp speed. But what if you did that for the next 3 months? What would happen? Now, with that in mind, here's your assignment. I want you to pray. I want you to ask God, who, Lord, in my life, maybe one, it may be several people, do you want me to begin investing in? Who, Lord? It's easy to sit back, come and attend the meetings, and be like everyone else without really putting a wrinkle in the world out there. I'm ready to make some waves, aren't you? Put some wrinkles out there where the love of Jesus can go forth through us. Now ask God, who? Because When we come back next week, I'm going to ask you, that's going to be my first question to you. Is who has God put on your heart? Because I believe He's already got some people there. And please, let Him drop those people in your spirit. Don't think too much about it. Let Him bring it to mind. Okay? We're done. Thank You for speaking to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.